How this is done in practice. We recently went to Boston, Massachusetts to visit the Let's Get Moving program. It turns out that healthy eating and being active can really be a lot of fun.
The Let's Get Moving program was started when we realized in East Boston that we have a big problem with childhood obesity.
All right, take some nice deep breaths.
We had to become active and figure out a way to help kids in our community conquer this problem.
One, two, one, two. All right. We're going to go right arm, right arm.
The kids who come to the Let's Get Moving program vary in age from 8 to about 13 or 14. A lot of these kids didn't have a way to get physical activity. A lot of the homes that are here don't have outdoor space. They don't have a yard. Maybe parents who are working don't have an opportunity to have their children involved in after-school activities like a soccer or baseball program.
We really want to target parents and kids right from the beginning to teach them how to live healthy.
This is really a big change because I remember a long time ago, when he comes back from school, he just, you know, he watched TV, which is not good for him. He's so happy to come here, you know. I like it this way.
Good job.
Our main focus is to give the kids lots of physical activity to really get their heart rate up, get them running around for at least an hour to an hour and a half every afternoon. We try and teach the kids a variety of activities. Each kid is different and we want each kid to find something that they're really good at.
We hope that they will somehow get more interested in being physically active,
but also would like for them to have fun.
I like the rock climbing wall because it's fun. It makes me more determined to get to the top. And it really gets me going.
Okay, guys, it's time for your snack. And you guys have grapes and yogurt today for snack.
Every site has a nutrition component where we talk to the kids about different nutrition subjects, maybe teaching about calories, maybe teaching about how they can change lifestyles.
You can guess how many spoonfuls of sugar in the soda. Adriana, how many do you think are in here?
Nine.
There's 9 spoonfuls of sugar.
We decided to focus our nutrition lesson specifically on things that kids have decision-making power over.
When I go home, I eat healthier snacks and most of the time, because they're good and I know they're really good for our bodies.
We teach the kids how to read food labels and understand it.
The whole point is to basically help them to understand that they are better snacks than others.
I'm gonna get you.
Childhood obesity is a national epidemic. It's something that we as a country need to start taking a lot more seriously.
Yes. If we can start teaching kids at a young age about healthy lifestyles, eating right, exercise, we feel like we have more of a chance to actually conquer this problem.
What we hope for with our kids is that they, first of all, they will actually learn to value being healthy, that they will understand that it is actually to their benefit that they are healthy and that they want to be healthy.
Let's get moving!
This is such a great example of how we can utilize community resources, our YMCAs, our Boys and Girls Clubs.
And I think what this also highlights is that, you know, what works for one community or individual won't necessarily be applicable to another community or individual. Presumably, you know, this is an inner city, racially mixed population, and they will require a different type of intervention than what might be available to another family. So I think this is an opportunity to also be thinking about, you know, customizing and tailoring our intervention for a particular community, population, be it a racially mixed or different population. This is important to be thinking about.
It's kind of like we have to tailor everything we do with each individual patient and family in addition.
Well, let's assume your colleagues are on board with tackling this huge issue of childhood obesity. What about the appropriate management in the office setting?
History is critical, particularly in ruling out what I have to, which is an underlying real medical issue. So most diabetes is going to be picked up on history. Polyuria, polydipsia, the typical things we expect to see with diabetes. Then if that's, you know, you got to orient your thinking, that's a problem I got to be concerned about. And you go through really pretty much all the issues, hitting thyroid, diabetes, any other issue, menstruating females, whether they've got issues around regular menses. And then when you get to the physical, the same thing. You're going to hone in on what are my real important things that I've got to rule out from a medical standpoint. Doesn't take long. It's part of the regular history and physical. So you're going to feel for the thyroid, look for acanthosis nigrocans, assess Tanner stage. Where is that child in puberty? Really look at what is the shape of that child. And we're seeing in children the same thing we're seeing in adults. It's visceral adiposity. And that's really the real medical risk. We're using BMI as a surrogate to measure that, because that's really the most practical way to do it at this point. Although there's a lot of discussion also about eventually getting waist circumferences. Maybe we'll leave that off for now. And then once you've got your history and your physical, and you're sure there's no thing that you want to evaluate with maybe some laboratory, so rule out thyroid disease, rule out diabetes. Very unlikely you're going to need to do that, particularly in a child. Thyroid, major issue. If they're growing normally, you don't have Cushing's, you don't have thyroid likely. So now you've just got, I've got everything. You've started to make your problem list. First thing on that problem list is, where does that BMI fall? Normal range, overweight range, or obese range. And then now I think the real opportunity to go into, can we have the discussion?
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, based on where the BMI percentile falls, there are some possible lab tests that we might want to consider doing. And these were based on the recommendations from that expert panel. Now, for example, for children who have BMIs over the 85th percentile, and who have no risk factors, then the recommendation is to actually obtain a lipid profile. Now, for those children who are between the 85th and the 94th percentile, who are 10 years of age and who have risk factors, and these are risk factors that would come up in the physical exam and based on the history, then for those children, not only do we want to do the lipid profile, but we want to add a fasting sugar and an ALT and an AST, the latter two, of course, looking for liver disorders. Now, finally, for children who are over the 95th percentile, 10 years of age, with or without risk factors, then the recommendation is to do all of those previously mentioned tests, plus any others that might be based on the additional physical findings that you determine.
Well, that's a lot of lab tests in a lot of children. This is certainly the recommendation of the American Medical Association. There are other recommendations from other expert panels as well. But this really begs for clinical judgment. I mean, getting a fasting glucose to rule out diabetes, that should be ruled out during your history, obviously during your physical examination. The other tests, a lipid profile, that's a lot of blood tests. And fasting, you know, having them come back fasting. And I think the main point is very few of these lab tests are going to lead you to any pharmacotherapy. They're going to lead you all to lifestyle change, and we're kind of there anyway.
You know, you can have this readiness scale, 0 to 10, where 0 basically means you're not really ready to think about making a change. 10 may mean you're completely ready to get on board right now. And then 5 is something in the middle. You're not sure one way or the other. So it's great to be able to ask the family, and this is a neutral way of asking, so how ready might you be at this moment to think about making a change that might improve, in this case, physical activity or healthy eating habits? And so even for that family that's not quite ready, you know, we can still say, you know, the decision to do something is really completely up to you. However, as your pediatrician or family physician, I would strongly recommend that you consider thinking about making some changes in this area. And when you're ready, I'm here to help you.
Well, one of the goals in our program is to show clinicians that addressing childhood obesity is oftentimes not as difficult as they might think. So to do that, we visited with Dr. Kaufman in Los Angeles and met one of her patients, Kira.
I've been practicing pediatrics for almost 30 years. We're seeing more and more overweight and obese kids, and it's a consequence of the overall childhood obesity epidemic. The first thing is to really do the vital signs, get that BMI obtained and charted, and then show it to the family.
Weight is 149 pounds.
If the child has a normal BMI, I think it's still important that we start talking about healthy lifestyle habits and ask about what are your nutrition patterns, what's your activity pattern for the day. Hi, Kira.
How are you?
I'm good. You know what? This is really good news. Hey, what happened? We need to do some anticipatory guidance and be sure they understand the concepts of healthy living.
You're not drinking sodas anymore, so that's really good.
Portion control, definitely doing. Eating a lot less.
The next level is the BMI has now started to get above the 85th percentile, so that they are in the overweight category. And this is where the engagement's got to be a little bit more intense.
What's the minimum that you're aiming for in physical activity every day?
Probably half an hour at the very least. Mm-hmm.
But the recommendation would like to see a full hour or more. You can say, well, what do you think about this? What do you think might be the causes? Are you concerned? And really enter them in the dialogue.
Screen time you have.
The third level is you've already got a child who is obese and perhaps now starting to have some comorbidity.
5 might not be too bad.
When Dr. Kaufman first expressed her concern to me about Kira's weight, I became very concerned because diabetes runs in my ex-husband's side of the family, and my older daughter has diabetes. I knew Kira was at very high risk for type 2 diabetes.
It's not just, let's look at a few targeted behaviors, but really develop a action plan, goal setting.
Probably what a good idea to do is to, let's say, let's make a month goal and then reevaluate how you feel, what's going on, you know, with your BMI.
Have them come back and go over all that with them repeatedly.
Okay, so you met that goal. That's great. So we've got the physical activity goal, the weight goal.
And I think if you show them that you're really interested, you're not dictating to them, you're working with them, a collaborative, negotiated effort. And I think you can actually get some movement.
Well, you look different. I can see it already.
Her recommendations were to obviously encourage Kira to exercise more, to eat right. And she also offered this program to us, which ended up being fabulous. And I think led Kira to have the information she needed to accomplish what she's done, which she has lost a lot of weight.
The most challenging thing about watching your weight is you have to make sure you do it right. If you just stop eating, that's not good for you. You can't do unhealthy choices. You have to both keep up your physical activity and healthy choices.
So if I see you in one more month, what would you like to have accomplished by then?
Nothing is going to dramatically happen after that first encounter. It's a journey. You are on a journey with that patient and the family. And you got to stick with them. And you got to show them how important it is.
So you're my idol, lady.
As pediatricians, we're all about the future and prevention.
You got your plan, and I'll see you in a month. And you deserve a hug for doing such a great job. Mom does too.
And certainly now, with this obesity epidemic in our children, we are the ones who are going to get, hopefully, the next generation of children back to health.
Looks pretty easy, doesn't it? Well, that was years of work. I mean, I just want everybody to realize that that was a very incremental, starting at a very low level of engagement and not ready to change for this family, to getting them after multiple encounters to really get to the point where Kira has done it herself. And after, I, you know, try to really get from her, so what was the switch? I mean, what really happened? And, you know, it was something that I had no control over. It was about being in high school and being at that stage where not only knowing her health risks, and she knew that, but wanting to really fit in better. So the peer pressure, change in age, a lot of different things, all coming together and then being there at the right time to really help her through it.
Yes.
Well, certainly prevention is key. What messages should clinicians focus in on when talking about prevention?
Well, there are a number of very important messages that we need to be talking about. So let me give you kind of an outline, but don't feel like you have to cover every single message at every single visit. For example, regarding nutrition, you might ask about sweetened beverages, soft drinks, energy drinks, sports drinks, even juices need to be considered. I really think it's important to consider fruits and vegetables, encouraging 4 or 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every single day. I ask about breakfast. I want to make sure that child is starting their day off. They perform better in school. They're less likely to overeat later in the day when they start with a good breakfast. They need to be having appropriate portion sizes. So, portion sizes that are right for their little tummies, it's an important issue. Regarding physical activity, we have to start by addressing sedentary activity. One of these issues that I want to make sure to talk to parents about before it comes up, before it's too late, is TV in the bedroom. No TV in the bedroom. And I start talking to them at 2, 3, 4 because, boy, it's a lot harder to get that television out of the bedroom once it's in. Limiting screen time, the current recommendation is 2 hours or less. In some cases, people would say 1 hour or less. Now, as far as screen time goes, when I'm in an office visit, I will ask the child, okay, now tell me what screen time is. They know what things have a screen, the television, the computer for non-homework time. Their gaming cubes, all that stuff. My kids would tell you all of those. Those are important to address. I think that when we look at small messages, where the person is, these can be dealt with over a long period of time.
Well, then after prevention comes stage one, which is really called prevention plus, and this is for children with a BMI over the 85th percentile, regardless of other risk factors. And this is where you need some training, can be done individual or in a group, and you really want to do focused lifestyle advice and really get them to commit to something and to hopefully be part of a program and walk out of that office ready to make change. Mm-hmm. And then hopefully that will work over a 3 to 6 month time period. If not, then you end up with stage two. And stage two is a structured weight management program. And this is for our children at risk. So above the 85th percentile, certainly those even with a higher BMI. And this is where we really have a concerted program. Whether there's one in your area or not, you may need, this is where the environment becomes critically important, and refer perhaps to a program in the YMCA or in the Boys and Girls Club. And this is where there's going to be hopefully a significant change in BMI over time, and either weight maintenance or eventually starting to look at weight loss.
Right. Now, once you've been through stage two, then there is stage three. And this is a much higher level of intervention. You know, I might refer to this as a high intensity program. So this is where you're talking about programs that are designed to get young people in for 8 to 12 weeks on a weekly basis. Very structured agenda that's covered, very definite goal setting. All right, so this is something that obviously will not be available in a lot of places. And so, you know, the availability of it makes this a potentially difficult referral to make. Then finally, there's even a level above this, and this is stage four, and this is tertiary care. This is really something that's going to be reserved for a very limited number of children. We're talking about, you know, surgical treatment of obesity. We're talking about drugs that might be used to try to combat obesity. And of course, the evidence is very, very slim on any one of these modalities. But for those few select children, this is, in fact, the final step.
You're right, Phil. I mean, first of all, the bariatric surgery limited in scope, certainly to the older child, and no long-term data, although short-term, you know, certainly has an effect like it does in adults. And the pharmacotherapeutic agents that are available now have a very modest effect and aren't going to get us out of this obesity epidemic. Okay.